everyone's like,
you did?
So I just want to really brace that thing, just call it down.
Coming back to the schedule for today, you've had a look there at what is the mind of Christ, and the two things that I've pointed out to you are, firstly, that Christ is definitely in you, and the validation of that is that you can discover how the mind of Christ releases itself through you, so that there are divine features that now fill your consciousness, and not only that, are imparted from you. And from that we see the same principle that Paul talked about with believers who believed in the baptism of John but hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the idea was that there is something inside of you that either jumps off you onto someone else, or your impartation of that will excite a move of the Holy Spirit to come onto that person. So there is this real transmission of consciousness, this transmission of the mind of Christ that happens not only from yourself but also as a response from God. And that's the whole difference between Christianity versus the believer of other faiths and other attempts to know God, many of which simply involved the physical overcoming of the world's circumstances, so that meditation and mystical life that was developed, say, in the East among Buddhists and Hindus and among the contemplatives of, say, like the Essenes, of which there really weren't too many contemplatives there. John was out of the box among them. But those who were really seeking God tended to be ascetic, and they renounced the world, and their struggle, their spiritual walk was how to overcome the flesh and how to overcome the sense world. And some of them made it, most of them didn't. It's a very difficult walk to go, and it's still there today. I could take you to people who are doing that today. When Jesus comes along, he says there's a whole other way of getting connected to God. And the Holy Spirit isn't the way of getting connected to God. Jesus is the way of getting connected to God. And if you'll receive Jesus, then you get Jesus' experience of God being the thing that opens up the doorway. And so releasing the mind of Christ is starting to open up, and I'm hoping this is what it's opening up inside of you, is that there is a Christ, Jesus himself is a bridge of a whole other level of mindedness, of self, of heart, of godliness that can be spread from person to person and can be fellowshipped from person to person, so that when the church speaks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, this is what it's talking about. It's talking about the deepest parts of a human being in God, with God, being able to connect to the deepest parts of another person in God and with God. And it doesn't just stop there. The deepest parts continue to grow and continue to get more and more consciousness of the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ starts to be able to exercise the will of God in different circumstances around the world. And then it breaks through, after the world tends to get exhausted, it breaks through into heavenly realms. And you start now to really get heavenly citizenship. And I remember the days when that opened up inside of me. It takes a little bit to really believe that this is what's going on, but then you realize, yeah, this is what's going on. And heaven totally opens up, and you're, after a while, your address is actually in heaven, and here you're just on borrowed time down here. So real is your heavenly citizenship. And all of this is coming out of the expansion of the mind of Christ within you. Doing that exercise means that you can release the mind of Christ, and you can discern it in somebody else, and you can start to inhabit it in a very controlled way, in a way that God puts the reins in your hands. And that's the point that I want to make, that as soon as you start to get control over the mind of God and you're able to exercise that in your daily life, then you discover that your heavenly citizenship now starts to reveal itself here in the world. If your life is limited to just bobbing its head above the cloud level of heaven, and you can't break through there, then you tend to live in a worldly version of Christianity. But these days Christ is doing a new work, and he really has, he's kind of, you know, taken the stadium and pulled back the roof, and there's nothing between you and heaven. It's clear open for you. The way to live in that is to live in the mind of Christ with the purpose of this fusion with the Father himself, because that's the thing that hold, that's the glue. You can live in the mind of Christ here and just bob your head under the ceiling of that. But as soon as you've got this fusion-mindedness moving through you, it'll kick you through into heavenly citizenship. And you've all successfully done that exercise, which is really lovely. It's so applicable in life. And 10 years from now, if you're standing in front of your own students, you'll probably laugh at how applicable it actually is. Once you've had a taste for that realm and you know how it works, it starts to open up all sorts of things. What I want to use out of that same mind now is the essence of Jesus, which is prophecy. And to have a look here at how does God use prophecy in your life? Knowing that this is the mind of Christ that's happening, and in that, I've highlighted a few features here. We've got prophetic union. If we have a look at Matthew 10:20, the scripture says, the incident, of course, is when Jesus is asking them, who do you say that I am? And Peter eventually comes out with a revelation piece of information. It's not just guesswork and it's not just knowledge. God's doing a living statement inside of him at the moment. And so Jesus, in response to that, says, for it's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, that's really, really clear. It's not Jesus speaking through him. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking through him. It's the Spirit of the Father speaking through him. And Jesus is aware of the difference between his own personality, the Father's personality, and the Holy Spirit's personality. Now, I want to put to you that the Spirit of the Father is God in you. And God in you is enhanced by the coming of Christ's Spirit, and it's enhanced by the coming of the Holy Spirit. But God's Spirit is the founding presence of God inside of you, even in the unborn again. You know, his Spirit, Genesis tells us, his Spirit is in people. Now, that Spirit is who you're going to grow into the likeness of. That's the character that you're growing into. You're growing into the Father's likeness. And so Jesus is here indicating to Peter that it's the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Now, when you engage the prophetic, if you're not engaged in a fusion process, you will tend to stay the same as you've always been, and prophecy will happen out of you. But when you start to get involved in a process of realizing that the Spirit of the Father inside of you is actually growing you so that you can discern his will and have your will start to fuse with his will, so that you are a son of God, a daughter of God, doing a combined will, human and divine will, just like we've been experimenting before in the first part of today. When you start to function like that, then what you find is that God can prophesy in you as the Father, and God can prophesy through you as the Holy Spirit, and God can also prophesy through you as the Son. And it's discernibly different. It's not all the same. It's not only the Holy Spirit. And we've got an example here of the Spirit of your Father. Now, some people might say, that's all rubbish, it's all the Holy Spirit. But it actually isn't. When you come to know the Father, and Jesus would stand up and say, I know the Father, and I can discern that you don't know the Father. I know the Father. And as you enter into the intimacy of this fusion process that the Father himself has created for you, as you enter into that, you become familiar with him, and you become familiar with his kind of voice and the works of his kind of prophecy. So then if you look at that and you say, well, what's fusion prophecy all about? Because we've got the prophetic works of building up the church. We've got the prophetic works of telling people when they're in the presence of harm, and we may not have ever recognized the difference between what's the Father's prophetic function inside of you. Now, the Father's prophetic function is about building your character up to the point of fusion, end of story. That's his goal. And if you happen to be ministering Christ, that's cool, but he's not building you up to be a minister of Christ. He's building you up to be perfect in his image and perfect in the doing of his will. So that's a part of his program. Your peak program is to be as a perfect son and daughter of the Father. If you happen to be a Christian minister, that's cool. That's just a part of that, but that's your peak program. So then you want to say to yourself, well, what's the Father doing in me prophetically? Because if you're living in the prophetic mind of the Father, how is he using his prophetic timeless mind to further your mind, to progress your mind, to increase you, to take command of your world? Because what you notice then is when you get onto the Father's track, you notice that the Holy Spirit is serving the Father. And the angels who are serving the Holy Spirit are serving the Father through the Holy Spirit. And you discover now that the whole enchilada is focused on the Father's will. The Son has got his own will, but he's focusing on the Father's will. The Holy Spirit's got his own will, he's focusing on the Father. Every single ministering angel have got their own will, but they're focusing on the Father's will and how to respond to you through what the Father's desire for you is. And when you get that kind of focus, there is this shift in your own spiritual world that really sets things in place, and very, very quickly, the Father gets dominion in your life, and you really then look at prophetic movements inside of you differently. So I want to have a look at a couple of these and let you then do some prophecy and experience the differences that come about. So prophetic union is the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. So there is a union between you and the Father in prophecy. And poor old Peter probably never knew what hit him, you know, like he just kind of came out with what he said, you know. He's just a fisherman, what would he know? He hasn't gone to theology college and understood all this sort of stuff, but it just come out of him. But Jesus is discerning it. Jesus is not saying, oh, I see the Holy Spirit is talking through you. No, no, no. He's not anchoring Peter in the Holy Spirit. He's anchoring Peter in the Father himself. Then there's the prophetic on doing God's will with Matthew 26:42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Now, this is a really complex statement. And it says, I've got something to happen here, and the only way that your will can be done is if I take on board this particular problem. Now, that could be broken down in your life. It says, well, I could go down to Portsea this weekend, or I could go up to Ballarat. If the only way we can achieve this outcome, Father, is for me to go to Ballarat, then I'm going to have to go to Ballarat. Okay. The only way you can achieve the will of God is to do a certain thing. Then your choice is, okay, then I'll do that certain thing. In other words, there might have been another way of achieving it without him having to drink it, without him having to do it. Is there some other way that we can get this happening? Okay, then I'll drink it. I'll do the way that we've been thinking about. Now, this is really important because Christians I talk about, they say, well, God's got only one option. Well, actually, God's got bunches of options. It just depends which option you want to take, and it depends what level of goal you're going to take. Do you want the entire loaf of bread, or do you just want one slice off it? If you want the entire loaf, then you're probably going to have to pay a higher price for it than if you're just going to take just the bottom slice off it. And God's will has got an option for you at every number of slices of that loaf of bread. So just one choice is nice for a beginner, but after a while you realize there are lots and lots of choices. In this case, you can see those choices that Jesus has got, and he's now focusing on the array that's available. And if this is the one, okay, then we'll go ahead and do it.
Well, isn't it so that isn't any other options?
You can think that, but you've got to come from this place where Jesus is obviously aware that there are lots of options. You know, one of the options could be, for example, that he could go over to Alexandria and just live as a really good life.
Why would he have chosen this one?
Because this is what he's asking. This is what he's saying. He's saying, of all of the choices that are around, you know, all of the ways of doing it, because there's lots and lots of ways of doing things. You don't have to just do it this particular way. There are lots of ways, but he's now come down to the wire of saying, if what you and I are trying to achieve can only be done by me going down this one path, okay, then fine, let's do that. But this kind of a statement comes from the fact that he's thought about other options.
So you're saying that he's free to do other things?
He's totally free.
Wouldn't have achieved God's will.
Yeah. As fully.
Wouldn't have achieved salvation.
As fully or if he had gone like Paul and said, the Jews, forget the Jews, I'm going to go over to Rome and do it with the Romans. Now they might kill me too and I might enter death too, but I might have a better audience. Or I might go to Alexandria, to the Egyptians, you know, got a far better brain than these guys, and they laugh a lot more than the Jews do, you know. He could be thinking about this. He could be thinking about other populations. Probably never thought of coming down here to Australia because it didn't exist then, but this comes out of the fact that he knows there are other options that he's thought about, and he's brought it right down to the wire. So the thing I want to point out to you on this is that you do have other options that will come up, and at a certain point you and God will do the agreement. It will never be pushed on you. You and God will do the agreeing, and then when you do the agreeing, there's the empowerment of you in the doing of that.
Excuse me, Rob. That implies that there must be a plan, like a previous plan.
Previous plan, yeah. A previous plan is really good to have. If you're just stumbling through it, it's like if I just turned up here with nothing, we'd probably have a really good afternoon, and it would have a certain life to it. But by doing this, we can certainly present some scriptures in a format that you can take away with you and replicate somewhere.
And you're only making commitments and statements about the course on the basis of agreements that you've already had with God your Father.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. So yeah. So making a plan is really valuable, and a part of coming into the doing of the will of God needs some instruction about, okay, so how do you plan it? And we'll come to that. How do you actually sit down with God and plan something? Like I've lots of experiences in my life now of doing project after project after project with the will of God. But now I know, okay, this is what you do. And this is how, and this is what I can expect God to be doing. The prophetic on your vocation. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And we hear this, and you probably have all felt the same thing in your life, or felt that you want to be more active in being fishers of men. And that really means bringing people to Christ. It doesn't mean talking to them about God or giving them a book on philosophy. It really means helping that person, helping the Father in the person to get that person plugged into Christ so that Christ can bring that person into the realness of the Father within the person. That's what it amounts to. So you can see that he's saying, follow me and I will make you. I will make you means I'm giving you a prophecy that if you follow me, this will happen for you. And I've given you that prophecy in this course. If you follow me through the 10 weeks, you'll step out the other end of this course, or roll out, or swim out the end of this course, and good things will be happening inside of you that weren't here before you started, and things that you will very much like. And that's prophetic, because I know that they're there, but I'm trusting on God, who's the one who set the course up. So in the same thing we see here, concerning your vocation, that's a dimension of prophecy inside of you. That there is vocation for you. There is your future works in God for you. There is prophetic supply. You know, we're always looking for what's God got for us. I'm married to an Italian wife. I love the Italians. They have this thing all the time about what's God saying to me? What's God got for me? Where's God in all of this? It's great. Prophetic supply, Matthew 6:32. For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Everybody wants supply. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And this is really beautiful, to really be hanging out on a wire thinking, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping me doing this, yada, yada, yada? And you stand on this kind of a scripture and God knows what you need. That means that there is a prophetic line of supply in your life. If you think it's only ever about money, then you'll run into difficulty. If you think it's only ever about the Spirit, you'll run into difficulty. It covers your whole life. And so you must know that if you're prophesying to somebody else, it might be about their supply, it might be about their vocation, it might be about their own salvation, it might be about their own mindedness toward God, their fusion mindedness. It might be about that. These are all features that are within the mind of Christ, which is at the root of prophecy going on inside of you for the sake of bringing you into fusion. There's a prophetic on reward, Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done or she done. So there's a reward for the things that you do. I'm running a course right now. I'm being spiritually rewarded for that. I'm writing a book at the moment on the boy who flew away. I'm being spiritually rewarded for that. You have to know that if you do things for God in the will of God, it's got comeback to you. It's got a reward for you. It's not just an act that you're throwing away. You're not just chucking a loaf of bread into the ocean and giving it to the ducks and whatever and walking away from it. The will of God is this endless creating of seeds and harvests all the time, and therefore you can expect it, and you ought to expect it, and you ought to walk in it. Prophetic destiny, Matthew 26:29, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In other words, there is a future day coming when something is going to be happening to you. And we don't do a whole lot of that in our church, but I know that there's a great deal of blessing that you are standing in right now, 2 billion years from now. Massive amount of blessing that you're standing in right now. 2 billion years from now. Wouldn't it be nice to have a piece of that blessing bestowed from you where you are right now, 2 billion years from now? You're in such a glory of God. You know, you've experienced so much of the heaven of heavens. You've met so many different amazing characters who never were human. You know, they were born up in the heavens. You've been on so many amazing missions. You know, you've probably met the original Adam and Eve so many different times. It doesn't make any difference. You know, you just 2 billion years from now, it's just extraordinary glory that you are standing in, that is your floor, that is your normal reality. So why not fling some blessing back from there to you who are now in the first 100 years of your life? We don't do that in our local church a whole lot.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can definitely do that.
Can you arrange for all of us to,
yes,
to come into the room now, 2 billion years from now, with that glory, the same way you told me happened to you?
It did happen to you. Said, no, I can't. It did. It happened in Jerusalem for me one day. Yeah, awesome. This amazing character turned up. We were running a prayer meeting. This amazing character turned up and just flooded the place with blessing. And I just started to talk the words of this person. Then I realized that it was a comeback on me, and me was turning up from the future. And I've done that in my life for other versions of me at times. So yeah, it can be done. But that's not what we're doing at the moment. What I want to say here is that
maybe on the last time,
or privately, yeah. On that day, yeah, I know you can do it fine. Until that day ahead when Christ is doing something with you in the Father's kingdom, right? So I want to tell you that there are things can happen to you, but they can only happen to you when you start getting this fusion mindedness inside of you, which has now got some purpose for doing it. If you've got no purpose for having $1 million, then you're not going to go for it and you're not going to sustain it. But if you've got a purpose for it, it now can become yours. If you've got a purpose for building a home with a creche and a baby room in it, you know, you're going to build one. If you've got a baby on the way, you're not going to be thinking about building a house for a baby. So when you've got a purpose in your mind, like this perfect fusion in the Father's purpose, when you've got that, then he starts working with you to now move your world together in that direction. And when it starts moving in that direction, you change. And when you change, his timeless past and his timeless future starts to open up to you. The vertical dimension of who you are in God opens up to you. And you yourself become the vehicle for these new things in Christ within the kingdom of God. And if you don't have a vision like that, you stay the same and you're basically just ice skating around the same rink. And no, that's cool. You know, the world needs people to ice skate around the same rink. That's cool. But if you're hungry for more, then your more is, what's my Father doing for me and what's it shaped like? What does it sound like? What does it look like? Because I want to be a part of that. And that thing that he's shaping me into, that's the thing that I'm going to be doing when I go to heaven. Because if I'm the same person ice skating around heaven, like how many halos and how many harps does it take before I'm sitting there going, gee, this is really boring. And they're like, God's not like that. God's going to bring you into this fusion state, the same like with Jesus, that where you and the Father are fused together in your will. And then from there, it just gets even bigger and better beyond that. That's just how it is. Just always more with God. Always more. So there's prophetic destiny in there for you. Prophetic righteousness. I think this is probably about the last page. Prophetic righteousness. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Praise. Put your hand up if you're praising God for not remembering your sins.
Thank you.
Glory
Thank
to you. God. So, the righteousness is not just for the sake of being good. The righteousness has got a purpose, that you're growing into his character and you need righteousness in order to do his will. I don't know, we had a conversation maybe earlier today about going for money and going for God, or going for something like that. And you can't. Going. That's right. We have a friend who wants to go for women, and also wants to be really godly. And you can't mix the two. After a while, there comes a certain cutoff point, and you're going to make a decision for one and let go of the other one. It doesn't matter which one, but you're going to make a decision for one and let go of the other one, or you're going to stalemate and go stagnant, and your growth is not going to continue. In order to continue, you're going to have to let one go. You're either going to excel. And I've got a friend who, at the age of 21, I think he was, said, I can be really, really rich, or I can be a really, really great spiritual person. And spiritual person comes easy. I'm going to be really, really rich. And today he's as poor as a church mouse. But that was the choice that he made. And his spirituality is always a reliving of the good old days. And it's dead. You know, it's inert. At a certain point, you choose one or the other. And he chose one, and the other fell away, but it was the strength that he had.
Can he go back and choose spiritual?
No. Can't do it.
Why not?
Because his choice has styled the way that he wants to do his spirituality. He wants to do his spirituality through the vehicle of money, and it caps what he's capable of achieving.
So he needs a new revelation or a new change of mind.
Needs a whole other change of mind. And
it could
happen, but it won't happen in this fella, because this fella's health has now deteriorated such, because of the money lifestyle, it's deteriorated so much that it's not going to happen.
So when he dies and goes to heaven, mm-hmm. then he'll go and be
You know, it's possible. I don't want to be the advocate for heaven's corporate destinies, but what happens in your first life shapes you forever, because you will have told life at a level inside of you that is influential forever. And if you did it half-heartedly here, you're not going to do it any more half-heartedly in heaven, or any better, you know. That's your choices. That's how you're going to do it. So it's shape. It doesn't mean that you're not spiritual. It doesn't. You know, it does. It just means the way you're going to do it is going to be like that. That's all. Anyone, I reckon anyone who gets into heaven is already doing pretty well, so you know, God love them. The prophetic on deity authority, Isaiah 43 to 10 to 11. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour. Interesting use of the word Saviour. So many Jews don't believe in an afterlife, and they don't believe in a continuity for themselves. You know, and they don't believe in the Saviour, Jesus, because they don't have an eternal life. So what's the point? Which is a very interesting reality to live in. The point that I want to make here is that the authority that you get in the Father is similar to the authority that you get in Christ and the Holy Spirit. But when you get the Father himself saying, I'm wanting to fuse my will into you, and I'm wanting that you and I have the same character, so that if an angel looks upon us, the angel can't discern who is you and who is me. And we are this character that is both human and perfectly divine. I'm building you for that. I'm building you for the greatest excellence that can come out of you. And it will keep coming out of you and be more and more excellent, aeon upon aeon upon aeon upon aeon. And before you and God fused like that, there was nobody else. There was no other God. So that gives you authority over all spiritual forces. And it takes away your spiritual fear. I have no spiritual fear whatsoever. And it doesn't matter who comes into the room and says, oh, I represent this God or this force or this divinity or whatever. It just doesn't rattle me. It's just, I'm with the one who was before all the others, and I know it. And when you know it like that, you get a spiritual sovereignty over the whole of spirituality on the earth. That's when your fusion now starts kicking in. Because your fusion is about your spiritual dominion on the earth. It's not about whether you can cause miracles or walk on water or lay hands on the sick and have them healed. It's not about that. It's about your spiritual sovereignty over the spirituality of the world on which you live. Yes?
In your walk, I mean, you hear some of the greats of the faith, like, say Wigglesworth or Luther, whatever, getting visited by, say, Lucifer.
Yeah.
Or Satan, whoever. In your walk, and even in the recent, let's say your World Ministry for Christ, have you had visitations like that?
Yeah.
And what are they like?
At the time, they're pretty scary. There was a time for me, for example, in the visitation of what you'd call here on the earth Belial, Lucifer's representative on the earth, and that was in Canada in 1980. I've had visitations, but never life-changing ones like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that one was pretty.
That was the one that gave me victory over it all. Yeah. Because if you can defeat the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit, good on you. But if you can defeat the devil with no power, then you've really got victory over him.
And that's. Sorry, what happened?
And that makes, no, I don't have time. I've got to give you guys an exercise. Okay, so what I'm saying here is that as soon as you start to get this real fusion mindset, the mindset that Jesus Christ had with the Father, that then starts to open up and turn on all the lights for the Father in you himself. And he then starts to focus your life, because now you are, in a sense, of an age where you can agree with it, and you want it to happen, and he now starts to unloose all of the resources that you can manage, and he who has this absolute authority over all spirituality on the world, he now pours that inside of you, and you don't have to be pushy, you don't have to be afraid, nothing, you know, just You know in whom you walk, and you have this authority. You can be gentle as a lamb, but you have the authority, and you learn how that authority works in you. I think we're now, here we are, forming groups of three or four. What have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 3, and 3. What I want to do now is I want to do some prophecy with you based on what we're doing already, and based also on the fact that we really want the Father to kick in prophetically concerning your own fusion ability, your own fusion life, your own, you know, the peak of you becoming a revelation of the sons of God on the earth. And so I want you to form groups of three or four. We've got 1, 2, 3, probably we've only got 20 minutes, so maybe groups of three is best. And the idea of this is that one person will be, let's take these three sitting on the chair, for example. We've got person A, B, and C. Person A is the first one out the front, and person B and C prophesy into them. Actually, I'm going to use four people. It's more color with four people. So if I do four and four and then three, that will work. So two groups of four and a group of three will work. And so person A will be out the front, and then person B, C, and D will be the ones prophesying according to the move of the Spirit upon them. And person A, you can be writing down the stuff that you are given. It's not a time of consultation. It's not a time of counseling. It's a time of simply receiving prophetic word from persons B, C, and D. And in the light of what we're doing here as far as how does God use prophecy in your life? So I want you to prophesy, but I also want you to notice what are the things that you're prophesying about and what are the deeper things that you're prophesying about. And sometimes, you know, I might get a prophecy. I'm saying, there's a move in his life here, and he thinks that he might be going astray if he takes this particular course in his life. And as I look into that, I can say, oh, that's what God's word is. But then I can come to God and I can say, Father, give me a deeper word than that. Expand on that a little bit. And say, well, it gets personal. So I expand it a bit. You're looking for the absolute righteousness in your life. That's what you want to stand in, and you want to stand in that place regardless of what options come in your whole life. You want to stand in that place. That's what you want. You no longer want your life to be dictated by the options you've got. You want to be standing in a place where you've got perfect righteousness in God and you know it, so that it doesn't matter which choice you make, you know it's going to be a righteous choice, and you know that you're going to be equipped when you go down that particular decision. That way you don't lose yourself to the circumstances of your decision. Is that true? So you know that God is speaking at that level. So then you might want to go a deeper level than that. You say, okay, Father, how are you now using that kind of prophetic word for him, or that the word of knowledge for him? How are you using that in a way that's going to relate to the fusion plan that you've got with him? And he says, if you will stay in a place of righteousness with me, then you will overcome all of the handicaps in your past that have tripped you up and made you feel inadequate in decision making and made you feel clumsy when you've gone down certain pathways and realized, oh, I don't want this anymore. This will give you a certainty in me that will now have the impact of eroding the impact of those past tendencies in your whole life. That sound good? You see how that took you deeper? So now we're looking here at, not only is God being prophetic, but if we ask of God, don't just say whatever we get, but ask of God, how does this relate to this person's fusion? How does it relate to where he's going to? Then you're going to be able to go down a deeper a notch, go up a higher a notch, get into different levels. Am I making sense? Yeah, me too. Wow. Gee, I don't know if God can do that. All right, so I'm going to put you in groups of, well, you're going to put yourselves in groups of four. And someone that you didn't work with before, go and join with that. So I want two groups of four and a group of three. Do that now, please.